Okay, good morning, everyone, and thank you for calling in and spending your time with me. You know, I consider it quite a compliment that you would be here this morning. I'm going to jump right into today's topic, but before I do, I just wanted to remind those of you that are in the Florida area, in the Orlando, Tampa area, or any part of the middle part of Florida, Shan Stratton and Dr. Brent Allen are going to be in Orlando, not this weekend, but next weekend, September 30th. So we're really going to be putting together a conference call for that. And so anyone that's in this area, I'm going to get that information out to you as to when that conference call is going to be with Shan Stratton. That'll be sometime this week. We're going to be working on that. Also, as most of you know, today is Success Institute. And James is at SI this morning. It starts right now, actually, 8 o'clock. So I really haven't put together any homework for you, but what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to be going over some objections. I've got, I believe, nine or ten of them here this morning. And what I'd like for you to do is try to at least write down the question. And you may not be able to have time to write down the answer, but that's okay. Don't worry about that, because we'll get the answer out to you by email, so that you'll have that, so that you'll know it, because there's going to be a little bit of a quiz type thing on these questions. Because what I'd like for you to do is have some index cards, and on the front of the index card, write down the objection. And then on the back of the index card, you'll have the answer to the objection, so that you'll know how to handle a lot of these, and you'll be able to drill these, kind of like back when you were like in high school or college and you knew you had a test coming up, and these are kind of like the answers to these questions that undoubtedly you will get a lot of these questions that we're going to go over this morning. And there's a lot more too, that we're a lot more questions. These are just a few of the ones that I've put together so far for today's training. So James and I have compiled several questions that we feel will definitely arise for you when you're out there prospecting. So this is how we handle some of the objections. Now, the first time you hear an objection, your response to it may seem awkward at first, but don't worry. If you really don't know the answer, just say something like, "I'll be happy to get the answer to that question and get back to you." You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that. You know, you don't be worried about not knowing anything. So if you don't know the answer to something, just tell them, say, "I don't really know the answer to that, but I will be happy to get the answer for you." You know, I'm not new, or James isn't new, and we still don't know the answer to everything out there, but we do know how to find out what the answer to questions are. So this is where, you know, your upline support comes in so good. So by all means, admit if you don't know the answer to something, and then if you feel it's very necessary, just, you know, get the answer to it. You know, once you've got a good answer to an objection, record that too. Don't assume you're going to remember the best way of answering an objection. Trusting your memory is a good way to get things wrong. So instead, as you're out there prospecting, log down or write down the question or the objection that you hear from someone, and then, you know, the response that you're going to want to give them when they come up with a certain objection. And be sure to upgrade your responses as you learn more about EcoQuest and become more comfortable in presenting it. You know, within a short period of time, you'll have heard all of the objections you're ever going to hear. You know, it's been years since we've heard anything new. They all kind of have the same thing. They're just blocks that people put up in front of themselves. So we just want to be able to know how to handle these. By knowing and having fun with some of these objections, it will really help you succeed in EcoQuest. So first you need to know that we approach from a business opportunity standpoint. So consequently, we are basically trying to cause a person to see the value of coming into EcoQuest part-time and hopefully going full-time in a year or so. So you only have a short period of time to suggest to your prospect that they forget all their previous 30 to 60 years of programming and take a risk by going on an entrepreneurial quest. So you can do it even more effectively if you know how to handle some of the objections. Okay, most of your objections are going to be a variation of one of the following objections. First, you need to know that the true nature of objections are basically efforts to make you seem more intelligent. Approach them with a positive standpoint, and you are more inclined to handle them effectively. Now, keep in mind that when someone puts up an objection to network marketing, many times they're usually just responding to what they've heard from other people. And also understand, you know, people's fear of change. Keep in mind you are advocating a transition from a traditional business to a network marketing, which implies, you know, drastically altering their entire career. So this is a tremendous change for people, and sometimes people are, you know, afraid of fear of change. They have a fear of change. So consequently, most of your objections are not a fear of our industry or our products and company, but a fear of change. Okay, so let's jump right into some of these objections. And like I said, don't worry if you don't get to write down, you know, the complete answer to the objection, because we will get that information out to you so that you'll have the answers so that you can work on practicing these objections, you know, get to know them quite well. Okay, so one of the first ones is you get on the phone with a prospect and the person comes right on and they're real fast. They say, okay, yeah, give me the name of the company, give me the specifics and be real quick about it. Okay, absolutely, you will have these. If you haven't yet, you can count on it. We have been in this industry for a while, and we have seen where your absolute toughest jerks end up being 70% of your income. We know it happens. So the most important mentality or space, mindset, your attitude, whatever it is that you call it, the most important attitude that you need to have in your head when you get on a call is a sincere desire to help them. If you have anything else occupying your head, it will distract you. So if you have in your head, if this person is a jerk, I'm going to hang up on them first, okay, that will mess you up. That attitude won't help you. Or if you have in your head something like, if this person is interested, I'm going to make a lot of money, that doesn't help either. That's greedy, and a person can see right through it. So you must have a sincere desire to help that prospect, that person, and you will eventually, and you will get the prospect, you come around, that you are generally interested in helping them, right? Okay, so somebody hops right on, and they answer like, you know, they answer like that, oh, give me the name of the company, give me the specifics, and be real quick about it. So what you might want to say is, what I would do is I would pick up my pace really, really high, and say, oh, gosh, man, I can hear in your voice that you are really, really in a hurry, and perhaps now is not a good time for us to talk, because I sincerely want to help you to get where you want to go, and I don't think I can do it as fast as you are urging me to do it. Would you mind rescheduling? Okay, so that question puts the importance back in there and lets the prospect know that you are genuinely interested in helping them. So if the prospect says, no, go ahead, right now, go ahead, you want to say something like this. Can I ask you a really quick question? What is it that you are specifically looking for? All right, because if you shoot right to the chase, if you will, then I'll be able to nix this call. So that way you can find out what it is that this particular person is looking for in a home-based business. So you must know what your prospects wants and what your prospects doesn't want. You need to know their wants and what they don't want. Okay, so that's just a good way of turning that conversation around a little bit and putting the importance back in there and getting the prospect to know that this is something serious. Okay, the next one that I have is someone would say something like, do you have to order so much stuff every month? Or if someone asked me, you know, something like, do you have to have a monthly minimum, or do you have to order products every month, or something like that? Okay, if they were to ask you something like that, this is what we would say. Hang on a minute. How much money was it that you wanted to make? And the person says $6,000 a month. Okay, so is $100, let me see. Would you invest $100 to make $6,000? Okay, so once again, that kind of turns the conversation back around to what they wanted in the beginning. They wanted to make money, so they, you know, this is how you get them to see that. So again, you want to rehearse some of these things over and over again. You know, put them on index cards. Say them out loud. That's really important, is that you practice saying these out loud, because a lot of times when you say something out loud, it's a lot different than you when you've read it. Something that I have always done in the past that it's really easy to do, and I really learned this technique when I was in college, is if you get one of those little mini tape recorders, Those things are so awesome because what you can do is you can tape yourself right in there asking questions and then playing it back and listening to yourself and to see how you sound to someone else. Actually, it's another interesting thing that you can do is call your own answering machine and leave a message to yourself like you would leave to a prospect and then play it back and see how you sound on the phone. It's quite eye-opening to see how you sound to someone else. So that's a good way to remember these things. It's like drilling. We want to get, we really want to memorize these responses so that we can have them, ready to say when these objections will come up. Okay, here's another one. I want to make more money. Okay, so the prospect wants to make more money. So here's what you would say to somebody like that. I hate to be private, and you don't have to give me private information, but we both know that more money varies a lot. So what number would mean more money to you? Okay, so when they tell you that number, don't go above that. That's what the conversation pertains to when you present the compensation plan. You stay right around their amount of money. So if they say that they want to make $500 to $1,000 extra dollars a month, then you're not going to go in through the compensation plan and start telling them how they can make, $10,000 or $20,000 a month. Stick to what they tell you that they want. Later on, as they learn more about the business, they may, decide to change that amount. But keep the compensation plan to what they've told you is what they want to make. And you could say something like, when you're with your prospect, I'd like to send you some information that shows how we take our products into the marketplace. And once you've reviewed that information, I'll connect the dots and show you how you can use this information to make $6,000 a month. So do you have internet access? That's sincerity, and my sincerest desire is to be able to help them. Okay, so another one that comes up for people is, 60% of the time, you will hear that response. They say, I'm too busy. Okay, now this is a very good way to be able to handle this objection. When they say, I'm too busy, now, this could mean something different. If this is a warm market person, somebody that you know, it could mean something entirely different, okay? But if it's someone that doesn't know you, someone that doesn't know who you are and you were talking to them, let's just say that you answered it, that you put an ad in the newspaper and they answered an ad in the newspaper. Let's call it in a help wanted section. Now, they're looking at you like a potential boss, and so you probably will not get from them, I'm too busy, right? But where you will get it is, let's say if you were talking to a warm market person who has in their mind, and please hear me on that one, it's in their mind, okay? They have in their mind, they see you as below them on an attitude level. They see themselves above you or something like that. Or they're just a rude person, okay? Because you would never find me saying, I'm too busy to someone because, that just kind of invalidates that person. So you have to recognize it. And by the way, it does you no good to worry about that because all we're really interested in is developing a teammate between you and the prospect. So this is just an objection that they have put in front of themselves, and you as a teammate want to help to move them past it, okay? So someone pretends and acts like they are too busy and they don't have enough time. So all that is, it's a barrier that someone has thrown up in front of themselves. And so what you need to do is be the intelligent one and look to see what it is that they are really having the problem with. Now, that doesn't mean that, you expose this to the person and tell them that that they're just putting up a barrier and that you're going to expose to them what that barrier is. You don't go there. So what I would normally say, what we normally say, and we teach on this, and okay, so someone comes on and you say something about the business and they say, no, I'm too busy. Okay, what I would normally say is this. Just so that I don't misunderstand you, when you say that you are too busy, what is it that you are too busy for? Let me say that again because I want you to understand that this part here. Okay, so when someone comes on, they say, I'm too busy. So you say, just so that I don't misunderstand you, when you say that you are too busy, what is it that you're too busy for? Okay, that's the response. Because what we need to determine is that, are they too busy to listen to a call or are they too busy to do a business? And that's why I want to make sure that I clarify that question so I make clear what they mean. We don't know what they're too busy for, so we're going to find out. So let's say that they say, oh, I'm too busy to look at a business. That's their response once you've said that. So this is where you should draw back and go back to the information that you've got from them in your qualify step. So you would say, okay, I understand. Thanks for clarifying that for me, and I'm sure you're very busy. Mary, earlier you said to me that the reason that you would be interested in a home-based business is because you wanted to spend more time with your family but not sacrifice your current income. So for you to obtain that, do you think that at some point you are going to have to take a look at what's out there? You know, what's available to you? What resources are out there? You know, we have made it real efficient time-wise for you to take a look at this right over the internet. It only takes about 20 or 30 minutes, which is a minimum time expenditure for you to get more time with your family, which is what you want, right? So can you find 20 or 30 minutes in the next couple of days to watch this DVD? Okay, or you would put, you know, to go to this website or to listen to this conference call, whatever you've talked to them about. But you can see in that response that you have brought a lot of it back to the person that said that they were too busy. Okay, you've gone back, you've said you've made it real efficient time-wise, and you've said in there that this is a minimum time expenditure for you. So these are things that you go back to what they said. So this is clarifying it for them and making it see that it's going to be quite efficient for them to look at this, and it's not going to take a lot of their time. So that's just a good response to someone that says that, so you can, you know, be able to talk to them a little bit better and get through their barrier, because that's what you want to do, is you want to be able to just kind of get through that barrier that they have put up in front of themselves. Okay, now, every now and then, someone will come off with something real bizarre. They'll say some really off-the-wall remark. They'll say something like, I don't want to make more money. So your response to that, if you get one of those, and you probably will, you'll probably get someone that says that. And there's a couple of reasons why they're saying that. Okay, so here's one response for you. So they say, oh, I don't want to make any more money. You would say, Mary, do you truly not want to make more money? Or are you just saying that because you don't want to talk to me right now? So try to identify what she has going on in her environment that has her attention. So she says something like, yeah, you know, right now I'm just really maxed out. Then you could say something like, okay, Mary, you know, just hang up the phone and next month or so I'll give you a call. So that's a way of kind of, you know, getting her on your, this is how you can kind of take an irritated conversation and actually become teammates with this person by saying something like that. You can possibly get them on, you know, your CWT list by saying you'll give them a call next month. And another reason why sometimes they'll say something like that is this particular person, they may just not want to work with me. Okay, so don't let that bother you. They may have determined that you're not the teammate that they want. So we want to help them get that. In other words, you know, just let them go easy. You know, if they say, I don't want to make any more money, you could say, is it that you don't want to make more money, or is it that you just don't want to work with me? You won't hurt my feelings. That's great. I understand. So you could say something like that as well, and that would let that person off the hook easily, okay? Now, here's another one, and this is a real, real biggie, because you probably will get this one. And this objection, this barrier, is one of the biggies. And they will come back and say something like, is this MLM? Or they may say something like, is this like Amway? Is this like Mary Kay? Is this like Shaklee? Okay, any one of those objections. This is pretty much how you're going to answer that one. There's four lines that you will need to say that you must get right, okay? Now, the theory behind this is for someone to ask, is this MLM? For someone to purposely ask that question, normally, they have had an experience with network marketing or multi-level marketing, or they have looked at multi-level marketing before and decided not to experience it. Okay, so you are basically talking to someone who has a variable amount of information and you don't know how much it is, and that's the problem. You don't know if they got one little teeny 5-minute introduction, or you don't know if they've been in the business for 10 years and the company that they were with went under. Okay, so you just don't know. So that's the first thing that you need to find out, is how much or how little that person has about the industry. Don't try to elude this one, and don't try to dance around it. Okay, so prospect comes back and says, is this MLM, or is this Mary Kay, or something along those lines? You would say, so could you clarify what you mean by multi-level marketing? And the prospect comes back and says, oh, you know, like network marketing, you know, where you get to you and they get to you and they get to you. Could you clarify what you mean by network marketing? Okay, you want to make sure that you ask them those questions to clarify what they mean. Just say, could you clarify what you mean by network marketing? Or could you clarify what you mean by multi-level marketing? And then this is the most important thing that you need to do. You need to listen to them. Okay, you need to really, really listen. This is where you will really listen to everything they say. You want to take notes if you are able to take notes. Because what they are giving you is what you need to know in order to help them get past this block that they've put up in front of themselves. So just listen intently and try to extract more and more information. You could say, tell me more about that, okay? So they come, okay, so someone comes on, they say, is this MLM? And you say, could you clarify what you mean by MLM? Tell me more about what it is that you know about multi-level marketing. Or you could say something like, do you have personal experience with multi-level marketing, or are you referring to someone else's experience? Okay, and the reason that you must ask that one is because there is something you will ask later, and you need to know the answer to that, okay? So let them just fully tell you their experience. You never, never argue with them or disagree with them, never talk bad about another company or an upline, none of that. You just acknowledge them, that you've heard what they said, okay? Now, once you've exhausted every experience that they have had, then I want you to move forward with this question. This is what you're going to say after they've told you any experience that they've had with multi-level marketing, network marketing, Mary Kay, Shakley, Amway, any of that, okay? This is the question, and this is the most important thing that you're going to ask them, and you're going to say when they finish, okay? Mary, thank you for every bit of that. Wow, you've had quite an experience. Let me just ask you a simple question. Does multi-level marketing work? Not for you, not for anyone you know, just does it as an industry work? That's the line, and that's very, very important. You're just going to say, Mary, thank you for every bit of that. Wow, you've had quite an experience. Let me just ask you a simple question. Does multi-level marketing work? Not for you, not for anyone you know, just does it as an industry work? That's the line. So, you know, here's the make or break point. If you can't get them to see that network marketing as an industry works, then I suggest that you just very politely thank them for everything that they have given you and tell them that you're sorry that they had a bad experience and make it light and clean it up and just get off the phone. They are not a prospect for you. They do not qualify. Now, on the other hand, if Mary says something like this, well, yeah, I think the industry works. Well, you got to get in at the beginning or be a certain type of character, or perhaps they say you have to go to all the meetings. All right, something along those lines. They'll say, yeah, I think the industry works. All you really care about is that you can find something solid that the two of you can agree on, and the bottom line is that the industry works. So the next question that you want to ask your prospect, if once they've agreed with you that the industry works, is you would say, okay, well, Mary, what do you think it takes for it to work for an individual? That's the question you would ask them. Okay, well, what do you think it would take for it to work for an individual? Now, let me tell you where you were guiding them to see. The reason why they did not succeed is because of a lack of training. So the bottom line is that it's the training. It certainly isn't luck or that they were born with it or anything like that. That has nothing to do with it. The only one thing, and that is training. So you must get them to see that this time is different from the last time or times that they were involved with network marketing. And if you do not show them how it's different than the time they were involved before, then they probably will not join you. You know, and that's going to put a lot of responsibility on you. Okay, so you ask them, what kind of training did they get the last time? What was it that they thought was missing? What part of it did they not do that they were supposed to do? What was it? Do you want to kind of find out by asking them questions like that? What was it that they thought was missing from the training? What part of it did they not do that they were supposed to do? So you want to find out what it was that they experienced the last time and listen very, very closely, and they will tell you what they themselves are not very efficient at. And that's the part that you want to work with them as your teammate. You know, they may something like, well, I never knew where to get prospects from, or I just didn't feel good about dragging people to meetings, something like that. So that's where you'll be able to work with them and train with them. Now, one other question that may come up, this is another one that I haven't heard it in a while, but you probably will hear this, and sometimes as maybe if you're explaining the compensation plan or somewhere along the line, they're going to pop up with a question like this. Is this one of those illegal pyramids? This always cracks me up. If you hear that anybody say, is this one of those illegal pyramids, this is what I want you to say. Absolutely not. I would not do anything illegal, nor would I suggest someone else do something that's illegal. Okay? That's exactly what you're going to say. Absolutely not. I would never do anything illegal, nor would I suggest you do something illegal. If they use the term illegal, that's, you know, illegal pyramid, that's how you want to respond to that. Okay, here's another one that you're probably going to get. What if someone has a real bad attitude, okay? You've called the prospect in there, they just have a real bad attitude with you, okay? So this person, they put on a shield of arrogance, and they put on this attitude, and this attitude is the very thing that is stopping them from making money with EcoQuest, okay? So you want to become their teammate. Remember, sincere desire is you want to help them. So this prospect, they just cut you right off in mid-sentence, and they say, just tell me what this is about. Just get right to the facts. Okay, they just cut you right off, and they won't even let you say anything. What you're going to say is pick up the pace of your voice again to match the pace of their voice and say, wow, you must be in a real hurry. Do you even have time to converse here? And they say, no, I just need to get right to the facts. I got it. I understand. Well, Mary, traditionally, what I like to do is, because I'll be working with you potentially, I like to kind of meet with that person that I'm going to partner with and get to know them a little bit. So if you just want to go straight to the facts, just give me your email address and I can send something out to you that just has the core facts on it. If that's what you're wanting, I'll do that with you. Okay, and then you just get their email address. So what you don't want to force back here, okay? You don't want to try to force back with this person when they do something like that. Now, so you really just want to try to help this person if they're in a hurry. Now, it could be that, you know, you just don't know. It could be that when someone answers the phone that's in a hurry or something like that, you know, they may be in the middle of changing their child's diapers, you know, and that's why they're in a hurry and they need to get off the phone. You know, you don't know, so that's why we need to try to, you know, find out what's going on. It could be something as simple as that. They may say, no, I'm just, you know, I'm in the middle of changing diapers here. I can't talk right now. Okay, so you just really want to try to help this person. So if the person's in a hurry, you could say something like, you know, I understand you are in a real hurry, and I'd like to help you. So how do you evaluate a business? I've got hundreds of hours of information in my head that neither of us has time to go through. If you could just tell me very specifically how you evaluate a business. And then that will, you know, give you an answer as to, you know, did they want to watch a video, a DVD, a conference call? They'll let you know how they evaluate a business. Okay, the next one. Here's another one that you're going to probably hear, and how to answer this objection. How much money do you make? Okay, you'll probably hear that. How much money do you make? There are two ways to answer this objection, and the way I recommend you do this is first, I recommend you stay focused on them. You always put the focus back on them. This is very, very important. Okay, so they say, well, how much money can I make? You say, well, okay, this is a little bit different. They're saying, how much money can I make? Not how much money do you make. We'll do how much money do you make in a minute. Okay, so they say, well, how much money can I make? You say, well, that's entirely up to you. There are people who make all the way up to here, and there's people who make nothing at all. What is it that you really want to make with this business? So that's what I recommend, is that you need to find out how much money that they want to make. Is it $500 a month, or do they want to do this something full-time and do $6,000 a month, okay? These are the things you need to find out. So that's what I recommend. Now, what if a person says, well, how much money are you making? Okay, because they may come back with that one. So there's two approaches to this, and one approach is very, very simple, and you just answer it like this. Rumor has it my upline is making So if you know what your upline is making, and you just say, I'm doing exactly what he's doing. So let's suppose that you know your upline makes, say, $40,000 a month. You say, rumor has it my upline, or you say, you don't, if you know how much your upline is making, don't ever exaggerate. If you know the amount that they're making, say, my upline's making $40,000 a month, and I'm doing exactly what he's doing, and he just got on the track before I got on the track. So that's one way. It's quick, it's easy. It doesn't seem as right to me as putting the focus back on them. Another way to do that is to say something like this. You know, there's a big difference between from when someone gets into the business versus when the business gets into them. So when someone says, how much money are you making? Okay, and basically you know you've been in for a long time and you have not had any success. This is what I recommend you say here. And it's kind of sort of like a story. So you would say something like this. So someone says, how much money are you making? Well, Mary, you know, have you ever gotten into anything, you know, maybe it was a book, and you might have read the first two or three chapters, and it took you 2 or 3 months to read it. And then the book got into you, and you started reading it, and you finished it in a day. There's a big difference between when you get into network marketing and when network marketing gets into you. You know, I learned the whole time that I was banging my head up against the wall and I wasn't able to create the success. And then I got this training from my upline and it made sense to me to serve people instead of selling people, and network marketing got into me. So that's a way to tell it from the perspective as to why you have been in the business for a while and for quite some time and you have not had any success with it. That's another response that you could give them. Okay, let's do one more. I know these are a lot of questions, but like I said, don't worry. We'll get these answers out to you if any of you are interested in having these, so that you can practice them. So here's an example. You call a lead. Okay, this person's trying to get you to get right to the point. Okay, and I haven't really even gotten anything out of my mouth when he says I'm not interested. Now at that point, I knew there was nothing he couldn't be interested in because I hadn't told him anything yet. So I would stop and I would say, sir, if you are not interested, I will completely accept that, but I haven't really said anything to you about it yet. Did I catch you at a bad time? That's the key right there. Did I catch you at a bad time? You know, he immediately calmed down and said, you know what, that's really it. I've got fires going all over and I really shouldn't have picked up the phone. And then I didn't want to be rude and say I couldn't talk, and then I was even ruder and said I'm not interested. So I would reply something like, well, I greatly appreciate you telling me that. Why don't I just call you sometime when you got the fires under control? So don't abandon all the I'm not interested replies. Okay, now here are some phrases you may want to use. So he says, I'm not interested. Okay, Joe, I enjoyed talking with you. I understand that you're not interested based on whatever they said. You want to just make some small talk and end the conversation amicably. Now, in some situations, you will want to place them on your CWT list and ask to stay in touch with them. When you feel it's appropriate, here is what you say. Joe, in case your situation changes, can I stay in touch with you? Not bug you, you know, maybe just send you an email in a month or so and then just get their response. All right, Joe, I look forward to working with you in the future if your situation changes. Okay, so that's one way to handle the I'm not interested response there. Now, one last thing in the question and answers, the questions and objections, and that's what I call a disaster call. I don't know if any of you have ever had a disaster call, but a disaster call is when you say something and that person just goes nuclear on you. This usually only happens when someone has had a bad experience with multi-level marketing. In this situation, you are not trying to salvage the prospect to sign up with you. You are just trying to salvage the relationship. So step one on one of these types of calls is just listen to all, validate all, regardless if their statements are ridiculous, even if they are attacking you. You know, just say, good response would be, I understand, I completely understand. I can see how that would upset you. I can see that experience left a bad taste in your mouth. And then you just want to take responsibility for upsetting them and then just drop the discussion after they have vented. You say, Joe, I apologize for upsetting you with my excitement. I think it best if we just drop the discussion. I really wish you the best. And again, I'm sorry I brought it up. Okay, so that's, you find simple things you agree on and just and just end the call. How's the weather? You know, have a great day. And you just end that call, end that conversation. That person's not a prospect for you. Okay, so that's the end of these objections so far. We've got some more that we'll be going over with you. Now, like I said, James will be home probably either Wednesday or Thursday. He'll be home from the Success Institute. And I'm not sure what he has planned for next Monday's call. But if any of you do want these responses, just let me know and we'll get them out to you so that you can really start practicing these. I would definitely encourage you to have some of these scripts ready and have them practiced and, you know, have them pretty much memorized so that you know. And after a while, once you've been saying these and doing these, they'll just come natural to you. When people bring up objections, they'll you'll just know how to answer them. And it's interesting, too, because once you know you have a response to them, for some reason you don't seem to get them. I remember when I first got started with working in this company with James, almost everybody that I spoke to, they would all say to me, "Is this a pyramid? Is this a pyramid?" I would never know what to say. When they said that to me, it would stop me dead in my tracks, and I'd be like, I don't know, you know? And then once I learned the response, nobody ever asked me that anymore. It's so interesting how that works, that once you have a response, that all of a sudden they don't seem to ask you that anymore. It's quite interesting. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead now and open the line back up.
All callers are unmuted.
Oh, heard you fine, Jennifer.
Oh, good. I'm glad you heard me.
Good information.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Hi, Jennifer. It's Deborah and Barry. We were here. We just got on just after you muted.
Oh, okay. Good morning, Deborah and Barry.
It was an excellent call.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Excellent call.
Hey, I have a question for you, if I may. We put some big flyers up about the business opportunity on telephone poles, and I had somebody call me.
Okay.
And actually, I was dozing, and the phone rang, and it woke me up. And I answered the phone, and he said, "Yeah, I'd like to know the name of the company and blah, blah, blah," kind of some of the things that you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I started asking him questions and stuff, and then he said, "Can you hold on a second? I've got a phone call coming in." Well, what he did was he hung up on me. Do you call that person back, or do you just let it go?
Did you capture his phone number?
It's on my caller ID, yeah.
I would call him back and I'd say something like, you know, what's his name? Did you get his name?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Mark.
I would just call him back and say, "Mark, it looks like somehow we must have got cut off." Now, how is it exactly that you evaluate a business?
Oh, okay.
And just see what he says to that, or something like, "What is it exactly that you're looking for, Mark?" Because you remember, you want to try to help him get whatever it is that he wants. So you need to find out, what does Mark want? Why did he call you? Does he want? He's interested in something. You don't know what it is, and you want to find out. So you want to try to get, you know, kind of roll those questions right in there. You know, just slide them right in and just hit them right between the eyes with those questions. And then that puts you in control of the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Jennifer?
Yes.
I had a guy when I was out here doing this thing. I was selling the Laundry Pure at a discount, $6.99. And he said, "Wow, that's too expensive. I can't afford that." You know what I hit him with?
Uh-huh.
"You can't afford not to buy this, sir, because in 2 to 2.5 years, you're going to start making money off of it."
That's right. Yeah, that helps when you know how to, you know, to do a respond like that. It really does.
And I did lay that, "You can't afford not to do this, sir."
Mm-hmm.
You know what? He actually went over and put his name in the drawing.
Good.
So, you know, it was an objection that he had, but I overcome it real quick.
Yeah. Well, that's because it's true. If anybody that does laundry knows how much money you spend, you know, on laundry detergent, bleach, all that kind of stuff, Bounce. You know how expensive Bounce is? I don't even use Bounce anymore. I don't even have.
Do you know how many toxic chemicals are in Bounce?
Exactly. That's the other thing. That's the underlying problem that a lot of people don't even really understand.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, that's good. It really is.